Today Shiz Masech Techulun Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chav Hei Amid Beis. A few words of introduction in learning our Mishnah. We know the halacha is that if you have produce in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, one of the maisers you have to give is maiser sheni. Maaser sheni is taken to Yerushalayim to be eaten. But if one doesn't want to take the maaser sheni, doesn't want to schlep to Yerushalayim all that produce, he can redeem the maaser sheni and take the money to Yerushalayim. The halacha, as is learned from Pesukim, it's learned actually from a klal prat to klal, is that the only food that could be bought in Yerushalayim with maaser sheni funds are something which is pre-mi-pri ugedulei karka, which excludes, as far as our share is concerned, water. Water is not pre-mi-pri and gedulei karka. It's one halacha that's very important to know as we begin our share. Another halacha is that we know the definition of a kosher mikveh is 40 saw of the proper type of water in a mikveh. The halacha is that once you have that pool of 40 saw of kosher mikveh water, it doesn't make a difference what happens afterwards. You could add water, you could take away water. The mikveh is kosher. But if you don't have 40 saw of kosher mikveh water, and into your pool of water you have 3 lugim of mayim shuvim, 3 lugim of non-kosher water falling into that pool of water that doesn't yet have 40 saw, that entire mixture of water now becomes disqualified. You would have to drain and dry that entire area and start from scratch. So it becomes very important, obviously, after these words of introduction, is to know what is considered water and what isn't considered water. They had a drink which was known as temed. Temed actually can be made in one of two ways. It could either be made by soaking the grape seeds in water, or could be made by soaking the sediment of the wine in water. Actually, in different places in Shas, there is a nachloikis that these two types of temed that I just described may have different rules. As is very clear from Rashi, and it's Posh Pshat in the Gemara, as far as our shear is concerned, both there's no difference between these two types of temed. And therefore, our Mishnah begins. HaTemed Atshalai Hichmetz, if somebody made this temed drink before it fermented, and here too, most Mepharshim explain, and that's why we're going to explain Hichmetz as fermented, turning into some sort of a grape drink, a wine type of a drink. Other Rishonim say it could actually mean spoil and be vinegar. Vinegar and wine, as far as what's concerned our shear today, will have the same halacha. But we're going to explain it as most Rishonim do. It ferments into wine. So halacha is, if it hasn't yet fermented, and in nikach b'kesa meiser, it's not going to be able, you can't use it for kesem meiser. Why? Because as I just said at my introductory remarks, you can't buy with meiser money water, and it's still water. And similarly, upaislos a mikveh, it's still considered water. And therefore, if you had gimel lugim of this falling into your mikveh, it would be pasul. Mishe hichmetz, however, once it ferments, so it's considered wine, and therefore, nikach b'kesem meiser, you could use meiser sheni funds to buy this drink. And it's not considered water, it's considered wine, vein apaisel simikvah. Another halacha, number of words of introduction to this halacha as well. We know that every year, every Jew had to give a machzis a shekel. The Gemara Masechta Shkolim teaches us, and there's many machlokes tanoim and rishonim around this halacha. We're going to try to learn it as simply as possible. The Gemara Masechta Shkolim teaches us that when somebody gives a machzis a shekel, he has to add a kalbin. A kalbin is a very small amount of money. It's a machlokes, it's a ma, or may even be a chatzi ma, which is not that much. Why? So again, as far as our shear is concerned, it's because the Torah HaKadoshah says that the machzis a shekel has to be pure silver. And you can never be sure that when you're giving that coin, that it's perfectly pure silver. It might have gotten rubbed out, or different concerns with the coin. So the way to be sure is add a little extra. If you add extra, the kalbein that I just mentioned, then you'll be fine. But there is a halacha that when is there a din that you have to add a kalbin? If I'm donating my own machzis a shekel, so Chazal said I have to add a kalbin. But if somebody is giving a machzis a shekel on my behalf, then he doesn't have to add the kalbin. That's the simple way of learning the Mishnah. That's the way we're going to learn the Mishnah and the Gemara. There are other ways of learning that it has nothing to do with the value of the coin and the value of the silver. The concern is that there's always a service fee. If I give a cowboy to the money changer, so he takes a service fee. Where that gets complicated is there's only a service fee if I give him more than a machzis a shekel. So he now has to, if I give him a whole shekel, and he has to give me change, so there's a service fee. But let's say I'm only giving one machzis a shekel, so there's no service fee. Or let's say two of us are giving a shekel together, there also should be no service fee. So to avoid all these problems, we're not going to learn with that pshat. Furthermore, there's a halacha that every year we have to give ma'isa behema from all our new animals. We have to give the procedure. They go through the door, and the 10th one is marked and given as ma'isa behema. There's a special din that shutfim, partners, don't have to give ma'isa behema. It means if people own a farm or a herd in partnership, the din of ma'isa behema doesn't apply. One more important point. Rachman Atzlan, if somebody's father passes away. So you could have a status before the estate is divided and after the state is divided. Al Pidin, until the state is divided, it's called Tfusas Habayis. It's called an estate. And halachically, we look at that as if the father's still alive, and he may not be physically alive, but his ownership is still as if he owns this estate, and the children are living off the father. Once they divide the estate, even if they choose to remain partners, then it's not Tfusas Habayis, not a Shutfim, not a partners. And now we learn the Mishnah. Ha'achan Shutfim, this is Rashi's Girsa. You have brothers who are partners. That means they divided the father's estate. K'shechayov mekalbim puturim imas habayim. It travels together. If they're part of imas habayim, because not a partners. I said a moment ago, partners don't have to give imas habayim. But they're two individual people, and therefore when they give the machzis a shekel, each one is going to have to add a kalbin. On the other hand, k'shechayavim b'masa behema, what does that mean? That the father's estate has not yet been divided. So they're not partners. There's really only, in the halacha's eyes, one owner, the father. So therefore, there's no partnership. So there's still a chiv b'masa behema. But it's the father who's the halacha looks at, giving the machzis a shekel on behalf of his sons. And as I said a moment ago, if somebody else is giving the machzis a shekel on your behalf, turim and hakalbin. So very much in line with what we've been learning in the whole parak, these contrasting situations. There is a girsa, I'm not even going to explain it, I'm just going to mention it. There is a girsa in the Rambam that doesn't have the same girsa as Rashi, as we explained. He has the girsa, ha'achim v'ashutfim. That the Mishnah is talking about two separate cases, brothers and partners. But again, Rashi doesn't learn that way, and we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Ask the Gemara, back to the first halacha about the temid. Ask the Gemara, Mani Masnisin, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Loi Rabbi Yehuda v'loi Rabbanan. It doesn't seem to be following either opinion. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Hamtamid v'noisim mayim b'mida. If somebody makes this drink, and he puts in water, that means you start off with a cup of water, you put in the sediment or the grape seeds, and you still only have one cup of water. So the Tanakama holds its potter. It's still water. Rabbi Yehuda Machayev. Rabbi Yehuda says that at this point, it's considered wine. Now, before we go further, we need to understand the opinion of the Rabbanan. We know one of the most fundamental halachas is in Masechta Chulin, it's most appropriate, is nois and tam. So certainly this wine is giving a taste to the water. So how are the Rabbanan able to ignore it? Asked the Rishonim. So the Rishonim respond that with a number of answers. One answer is that the wine that we're talking about is demai, and we know throughout halacha, the halacha is much more lenient with the chiyuv of ma'isa by demai, and therefore we could be lenient here. That's one approach. Another approach is that wine in such the drop of sediment or grape seed in this wine doesn't give tam, and there's some Rishonim that I saw even suggest that it's nice tam of gam. It gives a bad taste, and therefore tam isn't a factor. So Yehuda says it's chayif. So now ask the Gemara, Mani, Who was the Tan of our Mishnah? Rabbanan. If we're going to suggest it's Rabbanan, Afikav Tehichmetz. It seems that the Rabbanan's opinion is, it doesn't make a difference if it fermented or it didn't ferment. It's not considered wine. So why would our Mishnah say that it is considered wine once it ferments? Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, from Rabbi Yehuda, it seems to be, Afikav Tehichmetz. It's considered already wine. So how do we understand our Mishnah? Whose opinion does it represent? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua. We need to explain that the way to understand that machlokes is it's strictly b'shehichmetz machlokes, which means as follows. If it wasn't fermented, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's considered water. When did Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda start to disagree? When it ferments. The Rabbanan hold that since there hasn't been an increase in volume, as we said, we found matzah kedei midasai, so it's still water, and the taste we said doesn't count. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, if it fermented, even though there is an increase in volume, it's considered wine. And you'd be making bari priya gofer, the Rishonim say. There's a very interesting ritva, everybody disagrees with ritva, the beautiful Tshuvas Divrei Makil about this ritva, who says, a chiddush, that even if it increases, so let's say you started off with 3 ounces, and now you have 3.5 ounces, says the Ritva, you would only have to take off Maisa from the extra half, because the first 3 are water. It's a big chiddush. Everybody says if we consider it wine, we consider the entire amount of wine, not just the additional amount. Furthermore, the Rishonim make a very interesting point. The Rashba says this, the Ramban says this, that even the Rabbanan who are taking this lenient approach and saying that even if it ferments, it's still considered water. Rabbanan will agree that if there's a significant increase, that it's considered wine. They can't argue when there's a significant increase to the degree that they suggest that even if it's not fermented, but there's a significant increase in volume, you can't ignore that significant increase. In fact, they go on to say, so why didn't the Gemara say that that's the case of our Mishnah, where there was a significant increase? So there's 2 answers. First answer is because it does make a difference if it ferments. And our Mishnah does make a point that it fermented. According to everybody, even if it didn't ferment, then it would be wine. 1 point, one way they explain. The other way is that that's so obvious that if it increased, and that it's certainly wine, and we don't need to be speaking about that case. So right now, we're saying that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is strictly in the case where it fermented, and that's the only time where Rabbi Yehuda will consider it wine, and that is the opinion of our Mishnah. The Kenom Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina, and so did Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina explain that B'Shem Chichmetz Machlaikas. The Machlaikas is where fermented, and our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Continues the Gemara. V'Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Temed Shalachu B'Kaisa Maisa. If somebody bought Temed with Maisa funds, so it's a very big question. If it's water, the deal is no good. If it's wine, it's great. Ulubsoif chichmetz, and then it turns out to ferment, kana, meiser. Then it's considered a valid transaction. Maitama, even though when the actual transaction took place, it wasn't yet fermented. Igloya meisel mafreya, by it ultimately fermenting, it's obvious to peruhava, that it's considered wine, and therefore it's legitimate. Ask the Gemara, if that is indeed the halacha, El Masnis and Diktani. Our Mishnah said in the Hichmetz Inn, only if it fermented, that's when we can buy this drink with Maisa funds. Loi Hichmetz, but if it didn't ferment, Loi, we cannot use Maisa funds to buy this drink. Why? Dilma Ishafke have a Machmetz. And this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Rashi says like this, of course if I have the Temet in front of me, and I bought with it, and I used Maisa funds to buy the Temet. So we just have to examine the Temet. If it fermented, then it's fine. If it didn't ferment, it's not fine. But from our Mishnah, and that's why the Rishonim say the Gemara's question specifically from the Sefer, it seems to be saying that if I don't know if it fermented, then the deal is not considered a valid deal. Ask the Gemara, why should I not be concerned that it fermented? And if it fermented, it would be a valid deal. So we should be machmer misafik. Or other Rishonim say that especially when it comes to shaila of mayim shuvim by mikvah, we always go lakula. Or so why are we taking it for granted that it didn't ferment in our Mishnah if we don't know what happened. There's a very good chance, actually, as Rashi and the Rishonim go on to say, in roiv situations, in most situations, it actually does ferment. So how are we ignoring that possibility? And even though I saw a beautiful vart from the Oinig Yontif, it's a very important vart I hold, he asked like this. He says, why is this not considered a Dovah Sheyesh Lematirin? Because you always could do the Maisa properly. And we have a halacha, the Dovah Sheyesh Lematirin doesn't become bottle. That you don't rely on roiv. So why are we saying that we should rely on roiv? So Oinig Yontif says a very big aside. He says, where do we say a Dovah Sheyesh Lematirin, we don't rely on roiv? What's the classic case? We all remember the first sugya, Masechta Beya, where you have one egg that's muksa, beish nol de beyontif, got mixed together with all your other eggs that are not muksa, and it's yontif, where it's muksa. So you, even though it's bottle, you don't say bittle. Why? Because ashtachlene beheter, instead of eating it now, and you may eat the egg that's muksa, wait till after yontif and you have no problem. That's only, says the oinig yontif, in a taruvis. In a taruvis, we don't, even though normally there's bittle, here we wouldn't say by Dovah Sheyesh Lematirin Bittel. Here we're not talking about taruvis. Here we're just saying, we have a question, is something likely to happen, or is something not likely to happen? And the chances that it's likely to happen. So why is our Mishnah saying, unless we know for sure that it fermented, the deal is void, why are we so quick to say so? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rava, you have to explain that our Mishnah is referring to such a case, that you know for sure it didn't ferment. But indeed, in a situation where you have a shayla, you have to be concerned that it indeed fermented, and the deal is valid, and it has various repercussions in halacha. One of the most notable repercussions, the Rishonim point out, is if the deal is valid, so then the shopkeeper who got this money, the money is not maisa money anymore, and he can use it to be mekadesh a woman. If the deal is not valid, then the money isn't his. And if he used it to be mekadesh a woman, she's not his wife. And there are all sorts of shayos with Eishes Isha, obviously. Rav Amar. Rav has a different interpretation. This way, again, we're going to explain the Gemara. The Rav is saying, we started the Gemara, we want to know whose opinion does our Mishnah represent. He says, our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. And as going back to what we said at the beginning of our shir, we said at the beginning of the shir that there's a halacha that if you don't have 40 saw of kosher water, gimel lugim mayim shuvim will disqualify whatever water you have. And there's a very famous machlokes, Masechta Mikvos, Perek Zayin, between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. The Rabbanan opinion is as follows. Gimel lugim mayim chosa kartav. You don't have full three gimel lugim mayim shuvim. Shenof latachav kartav yayin. And a drop of wine fell into him. So wine is in mayim shuvim. Umarein kamari yayin. And they fall into mikvah. Why? Because you don't have gimel, you don't have full three lugim. It's missing a drop. Similarly, hold Rabbanan. Gimel lugim mayim chosa kartif. If you have gimel lugim, again, you don't have quite three full lugim. Shenafel atach kartif chalif. To fill up that shear, there's a drop of milk. And even though it looks like water, marein kamariyim, because it's not wine, it's milk. V'nafel mikvah loy paslua. Why? The reason in both halachas is the same. Because you don't have gimel lugim mayim shuvim. So let's think about it. According to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, we have to look at, let's understand this machlokes. They each have a kul and a chumra. According to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, let's say you'll have, what would be the halacha? Let's not ask it this way. Let's say you have gimel lugim mayim shuvim, and wine fell into it, strong red color, and it looks like wine. According to Rabbanan, it'll pass like a mikvah, because you have three full lugim. According to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, since it doesn't look like water, it looks like wine, even though you have your full gimel lugim mayim shuvim, it will not pass for your mikvah. On the other hand, let's say you'll have gimel lugim mayim shuvim chosa karta, missing a drop, and that drop of milk is what makes the gimel lugim mayim shuvim, but it looks like water. According to Rabbanan, it won't pass for your mikvah. Why? Because you don't have gimel lugim mayim shuvim. According to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, since it looks like water, even though you don't have full gimel lugim mayim shuvim, but since it looks like it, it'll pass your mikvah. So what do we see? Says the Gemara, Lav Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lav Amar Rabbi Yochanan, isn't Rabbi Yochanan Nuri telling us, Basa Chazus says Linen. We don't look at the reality, we look at what it looks like. Hakanami, that's why in our Mishnah as well, Zil Basa Chazus Vatama, Vachazus Vatai Mayinenu. You have to look at what it feels and looks like. So if it ferments, it looks like wine. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is going to treat it like wine. And if it tastes like water, it's going to be treated like water. Taisus actually has a whole different mahalach in this Gemara. I explained the mahalachs like Rashi. Taisus adds another wrinkle. Because Taisus says, it seems that according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, there's only one factor to follow. The chazusa. If it looks like water or it doesn't look like water. From the Gemara, it seems, says Taisus, that there's another factor. Tama. The taste is also a factor to take into consideration. Now, says the Gemara, pligas Rabbi Elazar. And again, the way Rashi explains, is that we began the shiur with Rabbi Nachman explaining the machloikas of Yehuda and Rabbanan in a certain way. And according to the way he explained the machloikas, we had to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar has a different explanation of our Mishnah. He disagrees with Rabbi Nachman, and therefore there'll be a different result in who is the Tan of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, pligas Rabbi Elazar. And the Rishonim explained that even though Rabbi Elazar is addressing Rav Nachman, isn't the problem that Rabbi Elazar wasn't mentioned after Rav Nachman, because really the goal of the Gemara and all three of the pieces of the Gemara we've learned is trying to identify who's the Tan of the Mishnah. So Rav Nachman identified it one way, Rav identified it a third, second way, and now Rabbi Elazar is going to explain it a third way. Don Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says as follows, Hakam Moedin Sheim Afrishan Allah, we know the halachas as follows. If you have real wine, not this temet, if you have real wine, and if you have two barrels of wine from which you didn't take ma'aser, so we've said many times, you don't have to take ma'aser separately from each barrel. You could take ma'aser for all the barrels from one barrel. However, says the Gemara here, that if the wine hasn't fermented, everybody will agree that the chiv of taking ma'aser is not so clear-cut. And maybe this barrel is wine, and this barrel isn't. And there's a dinam of p'tor manachiv and manachiv al p'tor. Kesavar. So he explains, b'loi chichmas machlokes. The machlokes between the Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan is strictly when it hasn't fermented. Between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Vat kan lo mechayev Rabbi Yehuda. And even Rabbi Yehuda, who takes the serious position, isn't saying that he's sure it's wine. He's saying, I'm concerned that it may be wine. And therefore, l'chumra, from each barrel of this, I don't know what to deal with it called, I'll take my own ma'isa. Al-menei by, only from it itself, alvim al-meloi, not from a different barrel. Dim osu l'frish, b'nechiv and al-ptor, and al-ptor al-chiv. So what is our Mishnah saying? According to Rabbi Elazar. There's a different opinion how to learn Rabbi Elazar, but this is what we're going to learn. Rabbi Elazar is saying as follows. When it was hichmitz, everybody will agree it's wine. When it's not hichmitz, the Rabbanon hold it's not wine, and Yehuda's not quite sure. So who's the Tan of our Mishnah? The simple way of explaining it's the Rabbanon. Because our Mishnah as well differentiates between fermented and not fermented. But some Rishonim say it could even be Rabbi Yehuda as well. Because Rabbi Yehuda isn't saying for sure that not fermented is wine, he's just not sure. And therefore, l'chumra, he maybe could treat it like water, and then it could be fine without Mishnah as well. We know that water, beverages, water, no, we have to be careful, water can become tameh. But, unlike our discussion in the previous year, that if a vessel becomes tameh, unless it's a kli cheres, you could put it into the mikveh, water, food, beverages, food, you can't put into the mikveh to make tahar. There is an exception to the rule. Water that became tamei, there is a way of putting into the mikveh, making it tahor. It's what's known as hashaka. Hashaka means that you fill up, you have a barrel or a cup of water that's tamei, you immerse it in the mikveh, and it becomes tahor. Why? Why? So there's essentially two approaches in the Mefarshim to understand the lumdus of hashaka. One is it works with a lumdus called hazra. The halacha is, let's say you have an apple that's tamei, and you take a seed from that tamei apple, that's tamei, and you plant it in the ground, and a new apple grows, the new apple won't be tamei. So here too, by putting that water into the mikveh, it's like starting it from scratch. That's one approach. Another approach is that since the mikveh is water, and this is water, by putting it into the mikveh, and the mikveh is derived, it becomes combined with the new mikveh, and it's not water anymore. It's not tamei to get water, it starts from scratch. So therefore says the Braisa, Tanabana, temet achlo hichmetz, if your temet has not yet fermented, so it's considered still water, Meshika B'mayim. Because as I said, Hashaka only works on pure water, Meshihichmetz, and therefore once it's fermented, and it's not considered any more water, and Meshika B'mayim, Hashaka will not work. However, says the Gemara, even this halakha that was saying that if it hasn't yet fermented, Hashaka is fine, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Elosh Shana Shetamdu B'mayim Tahayrim, only if you fermented it with Mayim Tahayrim V'nitmu. Avot Meimi Karoloi. A very interesting halacha. He says as follows, you could have two cases. You could have a case where you had water that was Tahar, you mixed it with the grape byproduct, and then it becomes Tamei, and it hasn't fermented. That, he says, Hashaka will work. But let's say you had water that was Tamei. You mixed it with these byproducts. It hasn't fermented yet. So halachically, it's the water. Hashaka wouldn't work. Why? So Rishonim explained, because it became Tamei when it was pure. You want to do Hashaka when it's not pure, when it has this byproduct mixed into it. You can't be matar something in a different state than when it became Tamei. If it became Tamei pure, it has to become Tahar pure. And here it's no longer pure because it was mixed with these byproducts. To which the Gemara says, also Rav Gvi Bei Kossel, Armel Shmatza Kameder Vashi. And he asked, Mashna Tamei Mikar Eloi, why is there a difference if the water was Tamei and then it got mixed up? That mean either the Maya Yakiri, Shachni Tatoi, Operi Kofi Lamael, Vloisakalu Ashaka Lamaya, which means a full sentence. Which we're concerned that the water and the wine byproducts get mixed together. The water floats to the bottom, the byproduct floats to the top, and therefore there isn't a proper Ashaka. So ask them, if that's the case, Yochi Tarnal Bsoif Nitmu, we should have the same concern. If we're concerned that they don't get properly mixed, and the water's on the bottom of your cup, and the other ingredients are on the top of your cup, so what's the difference if it was tummy before, tummy later? Ella, what do we say? That the halacha looks at it as mevabli. It's properly mixed, and it's considered, since it hasn't fermented, into pure water. So achanam mevabli, it should make a difference, he says, if it was tummy first or tummy later. The halacha is a number of halachas. The halacha is that according to Jewish law, as we learned in Parshas Mishpatim, a father could sell his daughter to be an Amma Avriya, a Jewish maidservant. But the halacha is you could only sell your daughter until she's a Nara. Why? Because one of the ways, as Parshas Mishpatim teaches us, an Amma Avriya gets liberated is when she becomes a Nara. So the Gemara says, if she becomes free when she's a Nara, certainly she can't be sold when she's a Nara. So she can only be sold till she's 12. Otherwise, she goes out is by 6 years. She doesn't have to work more than 6 years. Or if the person who bought her or his son marry her. One halacha. There's another halacha. That if a Jewish woman was either violated oinus or seduced mefata, you have to pay knas. The only difference is that an oinus has to pay knas, no matter if he marries the woman or not. A mefata only pays knas if he doesn't marry her. So says the Mishnah, kamak m'sheyesh mecher, and the Gemara right away will explain these rules. Wherever the father has the ability to sell his daughter, any knas, there is no knas. Kamak m'sheyesh knas, whenever there's knas entitled to be paid, a mecher, the father can't be sold. The daughter cannot be sold. Amar Yudam Rav, whose opinion does this represent? Zud divrei meyer. Avachom raimim, yesh knas b'makom echer. There is knas b'makom echer. And the Gemara explains itself. The Tanya. Ketanam bas yom echer ad shetavi b'saros. The opinion of Ramey is that a girl, until she becomes a Nara, when does a girl become a Nara? When she's 12 years old and brought shtei saros. Yesh l'mecher. The father has a right to sell her. Vein l'knas. Because according to Ramey, the only girl who's entitled to knas under the circumstances that we described is a girl who's a Nara. Mishitavi Beisaris Achitibagar, while she's a Nara. So the halacha is Yesh Leknas, as I just said. According to Ramey, she's entitled to Knas, Vein Lemecher. But as I also said, once a girl becomes a Nara, her father no longer could sell her. Divrei Ramey. So our Mishnah clearly follows the opinion of Rameya, as the Gemara says. Shaya Rameya Oimer, Kamakum Sheish Mecher, if the girl is still young enough to be sold by a father, Ein Knas, then there's no Knas because she's below a Nara. But Kamakum Sheish Knas, because she's already a Nara, Ein Mecher, the father has no right to sell her anymore, she's too old. However, the Chacham disagree. The Chacham say, Ribas Gimel Shana V'yam Echad Ach Debug Yesh Leknas. Unlike Rameya, it is the opinion of the Chachamim that even a girl who's not a Nara, as long as she's above 3 years old, why does she have to be above 3 years old? Because we know the Gemara Masechet Ksuvos teaches us that a girl below 3 years old, even if she has relations, Psula Chayzrim, the Halacha doesn't view those relations as having taken place. So according to the Chachamim, from a girl from 3, when she becomes a Ketana that can have relations, until she's a Bageris, till 12 and a half, she's entitled to Knas. So therefore, says the Gemara, according to the Chachamim, Ketana Ribas Gimel Shana V'yom Echad Ach Debugger Yesh Le Knas, she's entitled to Knas in, and she's also entitled to be sold, because she's below. So ask the Gemara, Knas in Mechaloi, there's no Mecher. Certainly, everybody agrees that a girl from 3 to 12, her father could sell. Answers the Gemara, indeed, that's what's going to be the opinion of the Chachamim. Af Knas v'makom Mecher. That means, to summarize the opinion of the Chachamim, a girl, from when she's up to 3 years old, can be sold by a father, right? But she can't get Knas, because the relations are nothing. From when she's 3 to 12, she's entitled to Knas, and the father could sell her. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's entitled to Knas, but she can't be sold anymore. She's a Nara. From 12 and a half, when she's a Begeris, there is no Knas and there is no Mecher. Next Mishnah. 2 words of introduction here as well. Again, Midaraisa, a father has a right to marry off his daughter, as long as she's not a Begeris. Let's say, Rachman al-Tzlan, a girl doesn't have a father, or, as the Gemara says many times, you could have a girl who's a Yisoy Mebechayo Av, which means a father only has a right to marry off his daughter once. So let's say your father married off his daughter, and that marriage terminated, and she's now still a Ketana, the father no longer has a right to marry her off. But the simple case is, as I'm going to explain, when the father is not here, the Torah only gave the right to marry off the daughter who's a Ketana to a father, not to a mother. But Chazal wanted that the mother, the brothers, it was very common for girls to get married that young those days, should be able to marry her off. But those Kedushin are Kedushin the Rabbanim, because she doesn't have Das yet, and her mother doesn't have a derisa the right to marry her off. So Chazal instituted Miyun, that the girl could annul that marriage, as long as she isn't a Gedayla. Interesting, Machloikas Rishonim, what does that mean? Most Rishonim are of the opinion that as soon as she becomes a Gedayla and she hasn't annulled the marriage becomes valid Midaraisa. There are some Rishonim that say that even if she's a Gedayla, she could still do Miyan until they had relations, the husband and wife, after she became a Gedayla. Then is another halacha, that a girl who is a Ketana cannot do Chalitza if the husband dies without any children. Why? Because everybody agrees that a man can't do Chalitza until he's an adult, has to be an Ish, and we compare the woman to the man. So therefore says our Mishnah, Kam Makom Sheyesh Miyun, if the girl is still a Ketana and Miyun is possible, ain't Chalitza, because we just said a Ketana can't do Chalitza. That means she's already a Gedola. So once she's a Gedola, she can't do Miyan. Amar Yehuda Merav, comments to Gemara. Again, our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rameya. Zudiv Rameya. Avchamam Yesh Miyan B'makom Chalitza. You could have a situation that a girl is still able to do Chalitza and able to do Miyan. The Tanya. Ad Mosei Habas M'mamenis. Until what age could a girl do Miyan? Ad Shishtavish Teis After Rameya. Until she's a Nara. So, our Mishnah is very understandable. She could do Miyun, but she's still a Ketana, so she can't do Chalitza, because I said a girl's a Ketana until she's 12. Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, Ad Shiyir B'Shachar Al-Lovin. that if she has to have a certain amount of hair in her private area, and until then she could do Miyan. But she could already be a Nara. So you have a time that she could do Miyan, and she could also do Chalitza. In the times of Chazal, it was common, and every Erev Shabbos, and according to most Rishonim, every Erev Yontif, they did Tekiyas. There were six actually Tekiyas that were done to prepare the people for Shabbos. The first one was to tell the people who were working outside of town that it's time to come home. The second one, closer to Shabbos, was to tell people who had shops that you have to close your shops. It was to let people know that you have to put your food on the fire on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do it. And the third one was right before Shabbos. And then they did three tekiyas, and it was Shabbos. Again, there's a machlokes rishonim, was it just tekiyas? It seems like this. Everybody agrees that the last three were tekiyah through a tekiyah. The first three is a machlokes, was it just tekiyah, or was it tekiyah through a tekiyah? Interesting Ramah, worthwhile to say over. The Ramah says that since we live no longer in cities that are all Jewish, and we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, so we don't have the ability to make the tekiyas. Our non-Jewish neighbors may be offended, but he says it's appropriate, says the Ramah, to have people going around reminding people Shabbos is coming. And the Mishnah Berurah says that let's say you live in a larger town, so it's not enough to have one person. He says there should be groups of people spread out over the town telling people. And he says people who do this will be zoicha to have children who are gedolei Yisrael. Mishnah Berurah says this. So says our Mishnah. Now, what is the issue of our Mishnah? The issue of our Mishnah we know is that Friday could be a Yontif. So what's going to be the halacha if Friday is Yontif? Or for that matter, you could have Sunday as a Yontif. And that's the subject of our Mishnah in the Gemara. What happens if Friday is Yontif? What happens if Sunday is Yontif regarding the Tekiyas and regarding the Havdalah that we normally say on Matzoi Shabbos? So says the Mishnah, Kamakum Sheyesh Tekiyah Ein Havdalah, the Kamakum Sheyesh Havdalah Ein Tekiyah, which means, if you have Erev Yontif on Friday, if you have Yontif on Friday and then Shabbos, so even though it's Yontif, and normally you would not be allowed to blow the Shofar, you should blow the Shofar on Friday. Why? To let the people know that Shabbos is coming, and Shabbos is a lot stricter than Yontif, because Shabbos you can't do Eichel Nefesh, Yontif you can. The Kamakum Shiesh Havdalah and Tekiyah, which means, if Yontif is Sunday, we all know this halacha, so when we say Kiddush Yontif by night, Matzoi Shabbos, we make Kiddush Yat Nahaz, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman, but we say Havdalah, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah. Do we blow Shofar? We don't blow Shofar. The Rambam learned, and actually a nice pshat in the Mishnah, most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam says that normally on a Matzoi Shabbos, you would blow Shofar. Most Rishonim don't learn. The most Rishonim learn as this. Normally on Erev Yontif you blow Shofar. So this Matzoi Shabbos is an Erev Yontif. But because you're going from Shabbos to Yontif, don't blow the Shofar. Yontif Shechal Yeser Shabbos, and this is what the Mishnah explains that we just said. When Yontif comes out on Friday, Taikin, but we don't make Havdalah. When we make Kiddush on Friday night, we don't make Havdalah between Yontif and Shabbos. But Matzoi Shabbos, when Yontif is Sunday, Mavdilin, we do make Havdalah by Kiddush, for light Taikin. But now ask the Gemara, and we're going to discuss this in the Gemara. Hey, Ketz Mavdilin, what is the Nusach of the Havdalah on that Matzoi Shabbos? Hamavdo, Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Because it's not from Yontif to a weekday, it's Yontif, it's Shabbos to Yontif. So Hamavdo, Ben Kodesh L'Chomer, Reb Doisi Amir, Ben Kodesh Chomer L'Kodesh Kal. So before we go further, I saw that the Paiskim ask a question that many people have asked me. It's very common, since we make Havdalah all the time, we say, Ben Kodesh L'Chomer. So when you made Havdalah on that Matzoi Shabbos, and you were supposed to, because Yontif is Sunday, Miak Nahaz, you were supposed to say Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, you said Ben Kodesh L'Chayel. What do you do? Rebbe Yoshev is Mekel. But I saw Rav Vosner, and Lahav Ben Chaim L'Chaim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, were Machmer. Because there's a very famous halacha, those who have learned Hilchos Brachos know, Kol HaMishanim Matbeyu Shetovu Chachamah B'Brachos, if you change the Nusach HaBracha you're not yoitza. And if our Mishnah just taught us that the Nusach HaBracha is Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, so if you said Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, you haven't said the proper Bracha, and you have to repeat the Avdala. Ask the Gemara, Heichitakeya, since this isn't a regular Friday, again, that's the case, the Friday is Yontif, it's not a regular Friday, so how do you blow? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Tekeya Maria Matach Tekeya. You blow, and you make the Tekeya before you finish the Tekeya, you already start your Teruah. Rabbi Asi Amar Tekeya Maria Matach Neshima Achas. You do it by Neshima Achas. There's a very famous Rashi here. Rashi says that even though it's by Neshima Achas, you should make a hefsik between the Tekeya and Teruah. Where is it relevant? Because by certain, we're not going to review Hilchos Rosh Hashanah now, but by certain Tekeah Teruahs, Shvarim Teruah, the halach is you should do it b'neshim achas in Rosh Hashanah. Says the Trumas Adeshin, here we see that even when the halach requires neshim achas, there should be a hefsek in between. Says the Gemara, asking of Asi Behutzo Kishmatze. He followed his own psak. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Yontif Shechali is Berev Shabbos, Toikin V'loi Merin. It says you don't do a true at all. He says you do it B'Neshim Achas. My Rav, doesn't the Braisa mean Loi Klal? And here it says don't do the true at all. Answers the Gemara, no. Rav Yehuda Mataris L'Tamei, Rav Asi Mataris L'Tamei. Rav Yehuda Mataris L'Tamei, Loi Rim V'Fnei Atma. What the Braisa means is don't make an independent rule, make it M'Toch T'Kiyah. Don't do it through two neshimas, do it elam neshema achas. Over Matzah Shabbos, we learned that if Yom Tov is Sunday, so Matzah Shabbos you have to say Havdalah. What is the Nusach? Heichi Amala, Arab Yehuda, B'chassi Masa. You should say the bracha, when you finish saying the Havdalah, you say, Hamavdol Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. B'ked Amar Rav Nachman B'chassi Masa. For Hashem Shabrei the Ravidi Amar, Apasichasa. We know, the how we start Havdalah, Hamavdu ben Kodesh L'chol, ben Ol L'choshech, ben Yisrael L'amim, miyom Yishvi L'sheseh Shimei HaMasa, so he says, that you do even a Matzah Yontif, even though it's not miyom Yishvi L'sheseh Shimei HaMasa, it's between Shabbos and Yontif. The beginning of the Havdalah is the same, and the Rishonim explained, because those are the Havdalahs that were identified, we shouldn't change, only the bracha should be different. Havdalah Yom ben Kodesh L'chol ben Kodesh L'chol, we don't say Ben Kodesh Chom L'Kodesh Akal, we say Ben Kodesh L'Choyl. Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Om Rav Zeira, Nora Alocha, Yontif Shechal Liyas Be'emtze Shabbos, if Yontif comes out during the week, and we make Havdalah, Omer, Hamad Ben Kodesh L'Chol, Be'er L'Choyshe Ben Yisrael Amim, Yom Yishvil Sheshis Yimei Amasa, but it's a very difficult lashon, because we're not making Havdalah from Shabbos to a weekday, we're making Havdalah from Yontif to a weekday. So why do we still say the same Nusach? Answers the Gemara, my time is Seder Havdalah Sumayna. This is the Nusach of Havdalah. Just to end the shiur with 2 points. However, we know that when we say Atochan Antanu, we say Sheshes Yimei Hamasa. So the Paiskim say, two halachas. When you say Atochan Antanu on Matzoi Shabbos, and there's going to be a Yontif during that week, don't say Sheshes Yimei Hamasa, because you're not going to be working all 6 days. Similarly, when you say Atochan Antanu on a Matzah Yontif, that's during the week, so again, there's not going to be 6 work days, don't say Sheshes Shimei Masa. We say in the Havdalah, Ben Yoyim Hashvi L'Sheshes Shimei Hamasa. What's Pshat? So Mepharshim say, there's a Shlach Kaddish that says, and it's very connected to Masechta Chulin. He says, what do we say in the Havdalah? First we say, Ben Yisrael Amim, Ben Yom Yishvi L'Sheshes Shimei Masa. What are we saying? We're saying there's a difference between us and the Goyim, Ben Yisrael Amim. What is the difference? The difference between us is that we're able to infuse Kedusha into everything. That's the difference between Yisrael L'Amim. The Amim have Kedusha and not Kedusha into 2 separate categories. We infuse the Yom HaShvi, we start with Shabbos, but Shabbos infuses Kedusha L'Sheshes Shimei HaMasa, that the week is a different week. Says the Shlach, what is the lesson? Where is that lesson learned from? It's learned from Masechet Chulin. Where's Masechet Chulin? What is Masechet Chulin about? We're shechting meat to eat supper. We're not shechting meat as a carbon, but where does Masechta Chulin belong? It's say the Kachim. Because Chulin by Klal Yisrael is Kachim as well. Hanu lecha kol shachtu, hanu lecha kol shachtu, hanu lecha kol shachtu.
So in Kodesh the Kodesh, if it's a second day Yom Tov,
no, so
you said.